Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know the deal, y'all. We listen to the camel play at the beginning of the show. That means coming up at third hour, we jump on into a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing it longer than I have, and we ping each other with questions and to see where the chips may fall. So let me call the roll. Looking northward from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, has a good gig with Yellowhammer and does some TV stuff, he says, once in a while. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. Thank you, sir. All right. Looking southward to the Gulf of America, down yonder in Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, editor-in-chief of 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we're glad of it. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. But, all right, I got neither one of you on video today, so we're just going to shine your smiling mugs up there like a photograph. Let me just go ahead and throw the first question out there for Dale Jackson. What you got, man?
All right, here it is. Since one of us has some pretty big news today and everything's going pretty well for him, let me just ask this following question. How many Nazi tattoos do you have, future U.S. attorney?
Well, I guess that makes up for the fact that I was about to ask you why you were the one wearing the giant inflatable genitalia costume down in the Fairhope,
yes,
getting arrested
totally
for it. I have none. My body is clean and clear of all of those markings.
Okay, well, then let me ask the question in a serious way.
All right.
How in the world is the media going to flip around and pretend that this is not a big deal and that him covering it up is fine after they went through, and you know this as well as I do, you know this, they went after military people, they tried to fight all the extremists, quote-unquote extremists, they could.
Pete Hegseth.
They claimed Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
He got removed from one of his units from an assignment because of his tattoos. I mean, this is insanity. This was not in the olden days that they made this a big deal. It was last year. It was this year, actually, that they made a big deal about it. And now they're just like,
all right.
No, he didn't know what it meant.
Remind everybody who this guy is and where he's from.
Graham Plattner, I believe his name is. He's running for the United States Senate out of Maine, and he has a legitimate Nazi tattoo on his chest, which now he has allegedly cleaned up. He said all sorts of things. And I know it's weird to say this, but he's a Democrat with a Nazi tattoo that apparently has some issues with the Jews.
Yeah.
So this guy is just covering all the bases, which is probably going to help him get elected.
Well, and so back to your original question is, what's it going to be like watching the backflips and the strange yoga contortions that the press is going to have to go into to be able to explain it away? It's funny thing is, I just saw CNN actually covering on one of the screens in my office, and the guy is actually doing an interview with no shirt on, which I thought was a little odd, but nonetheless, there it is. So at least they're covering it. But yeah, I mean, they're going to do all they can to make him out to be a good guy who had a misguided youth, and all of a sudden, it's okay now. Meanwhile, Pete Hegseth's still going to get slammed. Jeff?
I think the Democrat establishment wants Janet Mills. Remember, she's the governor who got confrontational with Trump?
Yeah.
I think the media will cover this a lot because they don't. This guy is the talking points will be sent out to the usual suspects, and they'll make this guy unfit for office. It's an inside job. This isn't Republicans doing this. This is an inside job from Democrats because he's the Bernie guy, and he's running against Janet Mills, the governor there, who's kind of the establishment pick.
You know, it's funny you say that. That's a great point. The Democrat establishment is the biggest enemy to Democrat candidates of anybody. It's crazy. I mean, they take people out left and right. If they don't like them, they just take them out. All right. Any other thoughts on that, Dale? Your own question?
Well, I think Jeff's right. I think they're going to come for him pretty hard. I just don't know if it works anymore for them. It seems like the wild ones are making their way through. So who knows what happens?
Well, this is a wild one, that's for sure. All right. Jeffro, what's your question, man?
Will Donald Watkins Jr. be taking over for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio?
That would be a hard no. That would be like just like a I didn't even think of it, and I wouldn't think of it, and no, we're not thinking of it. No, that's not going to happen.
No.
There is a succession plan, but we can't disclose it as yet. But the good things are happening. Not Donald Watkins.
He may be busy anyway, being the small business director for the city of Montgomery. I wanted to make sure he wasn't on your list.
No, didn't even make the short list or the long list or any list for that matter. But so, by the way, Donald Watkins, for those who don't know, that is, if you want to know what the strange leftist conspiracy theories are about Alabama, that's the guy. But he's also a convicted felon. And
This is his kid.
That's right, it's his son. But his son was also convicted, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. They were together, and big names in Alabama. They used Condoleezza Rice's name.
Oh yeah.
To raise a bunch of money to recruit investors for some kind of endeavor. But one of the people defrauded was Charles Barkley.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. Crazy story.
So the mayor of Montgomery sees it. I mean, there's no controversy in Montgomery right now. There's nothing going on there. It's a perfectly fine place. See, now is the time to pull the trigger on his big rollout of Donald Watkins Jr. to do the small business development in his city. I mean, that's just genius, right?
Yeah, that was a self-inflicted wound. And didn't the city council already put it on pause?
The personnel board put it on pause, but then we'll vote on it next month, and we still don't know how that will go.
Wow. Okay. Stephen Reed.
The mayor can still do whatever he wants, right?
Does he have hiring authority? Does he have to get it approved? Is this a position that has to get approved by the council?
I don't know. I think it's going to be approved by the personnel board, so I think that's where it will die.
Okay.
But, you know what? I mean, going up against Stephen Reed, but you are going up against Joe Reed by extension. I mean, the black power structure of Montgomery is the reason Stephen Reed's the mayor.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's also part of what's holding the Democrat Party back is the fact that Joe Reed continues to wield that authority like a club. They can't ever gain any ground because he's constantly, you know, causing a revision of the rules to benefit his chosen candidates, including his son. All right, third question here. Let me ask you this. We're in the third week of the shutdown. Now, Jeff, I realize you're down in South Alabama, but you got your finger on the pulse of things. Dale, you're in the Huntsville region. How hard is the government shutdown affecting the economy of probably the most government-driven city in our state, being Huntsville? What are you seeing? How is it affecting things? It's more of an informational question. What are you thinking, Dale?
Well, I mean, I'm married to a government employee who's home, so it's affecting me.
Yeah.
So I'm not too excited about that. I've talked to a lot of government employees about this, and the ones that have 3-4 kids and send their kids to like a private school, you know, they're not scraping by, but a couple months without payment, it's worrying them. For the most part, I don't think these are the people you really need to worry about. I mean, they can get bridge loans and be okay for that, understanding this is the cost of doing business, working with the federal government. The contractors are sort of the issue. I know some contractors have been laid off. I'm more concerned about, you know, Private Jackson out in Fort Lewis, Washington, Lieutenant Williams, you know, not getting paid. But if they cover those guys, I don't think anybody really cares about these other government employees because it's just the cost of doing business.
But
I think it does have an impact to answer your question. To answer your question, I think it is having a small impact. People are, you know, I had a buddy, we were going to go watch some football this weekend, and he told me, hey, you know, I don't know how long this government shutdown is going to go on, so I'm on a beer for a loan. I'm like, okay, I understand that. So that's happening.
Yeah, I feel sorry. I talked to a friend of mine this morning in the same boat. He's getting a lot of honeydew projects done around the house right now. But his point, and we were talking about some things, and he said, well, I got nothing but time. And he said he's going to be fine, but he said the exact same thing. He worries more about the younger employees that are at his office. He's a senior guy. But Jeff, what are you thinking? What are you seeing?
Not a whole lot down here. No, I mean, I don't hear from, you know, many federal government employees. And you know how, I don't know how your talk radio audiences are, but it's just kind of like, well, we don't need this much government. Let it stay closed. Let it stay closed forever. I think probably more to the east over on the Florida Panhandle, you have the naval bases and you have the Eglin Air Force Base. probably more of an impact, but not really seeing much of it here in South Alabama.
Well, I think that I think we're at that point. We're on a hinge point because you're coming up. The military was taken care of by a shift in funds, but I don't think that can keep happening. And I think that we're looking at right now. And give me your quick and dirty on this because we got about a minute and a half. But my understanding is that there is a plot right now to do a carve out exception to end the filibuster rule for budgetary matters. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Never going to happen. It's leverage. It's leverage for the opposition. I've seen some Republicans respond to that question. It's a non-starter, I think.
All right, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Round two, Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and this little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, we're back to round two, Grand Council, Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson. Dale Jackson, first question, round two, what you got?
All right, it was kind of mentioned before all the stuff going on in Montgomery, but it sounds like we have a bipartisan agreement that letting people who do mass shootings and attempted murders out of jail and bonds is a pretty bad idea. We have a law coming up to be updated in May if it passes the people's vote, which it probably will. The question is, why did they leave this loophole in the first place? Was that a mistake, or did they want to come back and fix it later just so they could do it? What's the story there?
Jeff, I'll give you first run. Your thoughts?
So I had one of the sponsors of the bill this morning on my show, Chip Brown. I asked him that same question. He's like, well, why don't we have to keep tweaking this? And why is Anaya's law say may and not shall, right? And he said, well, the lawyers looked at it, and they said there were some Eighth Amendment concerns with cruel and unusual punishment and unreasonable bail, and that they were that's what they were trying to avoid. They were trying to avoid that because they thought the ACLU or some, SPLC or somebody like that would take them to court. The law would get, they would have an injunction on the law and it would just get put on hold for a while. But he says they're going to look at tweaking it. But
yeah,
he said the law as it is now, I mean, that's what they thought was necessary under the Eighth Amendment.
Well, so I will say this, not necessarily truly in their defense, but almost I would bet 50% of what we do in a legislative session is a revision to a existing law, meaning there's something to update or there's something that needs to get tweaked or you didn't see the second and third order consequences and now you can, so you got to fix it. So that does happen. But the reality is what they are trying to avoid created the opportunity for a mass shooter to just walk. And I know it's alleged he's innocent until proven guilty, and there's all that. But they've got an opportunity now to tighten this up, and they need to take it. The other piece of this is, and I got to go back and look at the rules about doing this, but there's a thing that we can do as legislators called seeking an opinion of the justices, where you put something in front of the Supreme Court and say, if we pass this, do you believe it will pass constitutional muster? And it gives you sort of a review of where the court will stand if you have to, be faced with a lawsuit later. Anyway, I don't know if they can do that in this case, but they need to do something because obviously the loophole exists. Dale?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if they had comment on that. It's good to hear that they have. They understand it. And it looks like they're going to move this thing forward, but, it's just completely insane. And again, the judge doesn't have to give him bond, does he?
No, it depends. There's usually judicial discretion on that, and the judge can also set the bond at a certain level. So, yeah. So, all right.
I mean, as opposed to being forced to not give him bond, I mean, he could have made that decision already. So this is the case of what I thought it was, just a judge saying, well, I'll just let this guy out.
And it's also one of the more liberal venues in our entire state. So there's that. Mm-hmm. All right. Next question, Jeff, what you got?
Aside from the run on penis costumes at Spirit Halloween stores all throughout strip malls in this country, what would you rate on a scale of 1 to 10 the success of Saturday's No Kings protest?
Well, you stole my question. That's what I was going to – I should have gone ahead and done mine. But mine was basically along those lines, what did the No Kings protest actually accomplish? I don't know that they accomplished anything except giving us a great amount of fodder for our shows. Granted, it's a First Amendment right, so I got no issue with people out there peaceably just protesting things they don't like. But what I saw was nothing about solutions. All I saw was hate Trump and many times hate America, sometimes even hate Jews. and you look at it and go, are y'all aware of the idea that all your faces are going to be posted on some political mail out in the next, 6 to 8 months as the midterms approach? I saw no benefit. I don't know what they gained except trying to prove that they still have a voice. Dale?
Constant agitation. They're keeping their base in a constant state of agitation, meaning that they think it's easier to get them to turn out and do stuff. And that's what they're doing. That's why every month you see this, you would think it's laws of diminishing returns, is maybe with people who aren't already enamored with them. Yeah, that's it. But that base is powerful. I mean, the entire argument Mike Johnson and even Katie Brett made was basically that the simple fact of this is we can't end the government shutdown until this thing is over, these protests, because the simple fact is they'll put our heads in a guillotine. That's a quote. They're allegedly saying. So keeping them constantly agitated keeps the left-wing base in control of the party, and I think that's what the point of it is, right?
That's a fair point. I mean, I think you're right. And it also is a clear indication that the folks who are actually maybe of the more sane within the Democrat Party are scared to death of the ones who are insane. And the ones who are insane seem to be growing in number. I got about a minute here, fellas. Let me ask you real quickly. Zohran Mamdani, still considered to be the lead candidate for New York City. Is he a harbinger of things to come if he gets elected? Are Democrats going to be glomming on to Marxist, socialist, Democrat candidates like him everywhere? Jeff?
They do to their own detriment. This is, George McGovern kind of tactic. I think that if this is what the base has been trying to hold off, it's what we're talking about, what's going on in Maine in the last segment. This is who, given the people at the DNC that go and are delegates, this is the kind of people they're going to vote for. This is what the Democratic Party will eventually become, and it'll be irrelevant for a few years.
Dale?
Left-wing hellhole is going to left-wing hellhole. That's what they're trying to create. That's what they want, and they're going to get it.
So I got the thoughtful answer from Jeff, and I got the good, crass street answer from Dale, and they're both right. All right, you guys, that's it. Grand Council, one more in the bag. I appreciate both of you. Thank you so much for all you do. That is Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and also with Yellowhammer News. And just little old me, every week, Grand Council, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.